came early, about 4 hours early, and started cooking, and Valerie started cooking, and Lauren brought her food over, this light food. We finished eating, and Valerie and I will eat for the next week and a half on the leftovers. We get together and we eat, and it's all part of this Thanksgiving thing. We eat and we eat and we eat. This verse is such a good verse because it puts our Thanksgiving in perspective. Would you read this verse with me out loud? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When we were at the table the other night, I asked the kids if they would tell us something, one thing for which they were most grateful. And of course, we heard multiple responses. You know, there was a response, we're thankful that we got through COVID okay. Somebody said they're thankful that their job is steady. And somebody said that they, you know, thankful for the new house that they bought. And Valerie and I both mentioned we're thankful about some aspect of our kids. And so later, when everyone left, I began thinking of all the things in my life for which I should thank God for. All of His blessings and His graces and His mercies. And I got I felt a little guilty because I should be doing that all year long. God inhabits the praise of His people. That's an actual verse. He lives in our praises. And God is so good to me. I have every reason in the world to give thanks to God for so much in my life. And they tell us it's healthy to be grateful. It's healthy to be thankful. Researchers say that if we just extended the tradition of giving thanks that we usually do on Thanksgiving, and we extend that throughout the entire year, we would be rewarded with better health. Isn't that amazing? Thousands of years of literature talk about the benefits of cultivating gratefulness as a virtue. And as a side note, it makes us more healthy. It makes us contemplate and be grateful for what we've got. Scientists tell us this right here: being grateful, giving thanks for what we have, helps decrease stress in our life. They say it boosts our immune system. It prompts us to take better care of ourselves, helps us get along with other people better, just by giving thanks, just by being in a state of mind that we're thankful, and for Christians, thankful to God for what He's done for us. But we don't need scientists, and we don't need doctors and researchers telling us, because the Word of God tells us this same thing. Listen to Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. It is a good thing. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. That verse, that thought right there, is repeated and reworded in different ways 100-something times in the Bible alone. Psalm 136, verse 2, listen to the way it's worded here. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. The next verse says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. The next verse says, Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. This downright put me to shame when I think of how the psalmist repeated and repeated and repeated his gratefulness to the Lord. And what do? We get together a couple times a year maybe, and we're grateful for what God's given us. No, we should be in a state of gratitude all the time. We should be grateful at all times in our life. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 62, At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Who gets up at midnight? Can you raise your hand to give thanks to the Lord? The psalmist does. He does it at all times. And you say, well, you know, it's hard to be thankful in this time of COVID. So many people have lost their job, and so many people are sick, and And Nora lost her sister here in the past day or two. Susanna lost her battle with it. But the psalmist even thanked God when he was in difficult times in his life as well. Psalm 30, verse 11 says, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing." Mourning, M-O-U-R-N, crying, grief, sorrow. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever." The more I read this week and preparing for this lesson, the more guilty I felt, because I don't do what the psalmist does to any degree that he does it. Psalm 140, verse 13 says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." The Apostle Paul in the New Testament linked his thanksgiving, his heart of gratitude, his grateful heart, linked it to God with praying for others. His gratitude to God caused him to pray and think of other people. He says in Colossians 1:3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." And finally, before we move on, it's the will of God for us to be thankful. Did you know that? Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. This is God's will. It is God's will that I go through my week with an attitude of praise and thanksgiving to Him. It is God's will that we acknowledge Him with a grateful heart throughout the week with what He's done for us. It's in that mode of thinking that I chose this text. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." Now, just by that phrase right there, we know it's talking about from God. But the verse tells us, "And cometh down from the Father of lights." That's God, the Father of lights. Now, it's also a comparison with the sun, because the sun in the galaxy is also a father. He's the biggest light. God's always been associated with light. You read God's word and you see it everywhere. Genesis 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." In verse 14 of the same chapter, it says, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide one day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." He's always been closely related with the subject of light. In Matthew 4:16, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of shadows of death, light is sprung up." Why? Because Jesus Christ came onto the scene and they believed Him, and light was shed abroad in their heart. He's personified as light in John 1:4-5. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." So He's always been associated with light. And I want you to consider with me a few points about our God, the Father of light, the Father of lights. And the first thing I want you to consider with me, He is self-existent. He's not like us. We're dependent upon people. We're dependent upon the sun. We're dependent upon food, and we're dependent upon so many things. And most things in life are that way. Plants and vegetables, they're dependent upon the soil, upon the sun, and water. Animals are the same. The planets, the stars, and the moon, they're all dependent upon getting their light from the sun, and so on. And as such, the sun is a great provider. And the sun is not self-existent completely, because God made the sun, but in the comparison, it still worked. The sun gives, but He doesn't take. The sun gives to all and receives from none. The sun leans on no one. He lives alone in his own solemn, grand place in the galaxy, where God put him. He's self-existent, and so is God. God sits on his throne, and he begs or depends on nothing from no one. He exists by himself. All things are of him and by him. He doesn't need anything or anybody. If we all were annihilated, if we all were destroyed, it wouldn't affect God in the least. God is not only self-existent, but he's so grand and so great and so majestic that he elicits all and inspiration from people. That's who he is. That's what he does. When the sun comes out, think with me here, when the sun comes out every day, the moon and the stars retreat back into the shadows, don't they? We don't see them anymore. They're there, but we just don't see them. They're at another distance. And yet when the sun comes out and the moon and the stars retreat, the sun is so bright and it carries so much intense brightness that we can't even look in that direction, or we're blinded. God is the same way. God is so grand and he's so majestic. And if we really just read the Word of God and find out about God, we will be awed and we will be inspired by who he is. He sits in the heavens upon his throne. His brightness and glory is so great that the angels cannot look upon him. Like Moses in the Old Testament, where Moses could only see the backside of God. He could only get a glimpse of God. So God is dependent upon no one, and he is grand, and he's glorious, and he is awed. He is majestic. He is excellent. But he's also powerful. God is powerful. His word causes things to happen. Just think with me. I wrote down some thoughts that came this week. Just think of all the things we've seen in the Word of God that comes from the power of God's word. God's word created the heavens and the earth, remember? He spoke things into existence. In the time of Noah, his word caused rain to come up from the ground, and the flood happened for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, his word caused the water to seep back into the ground. By his word, the Red Sea was divided so the children of Israel could get across. By God's word being so powerful, Abraham and Sarah were able to have a son at 99 years old. By God's word, the Son of God was raised after 3 days in the ground, raised back to life. By God's word, many people in the New Testament experienced health and healing from diseases that they'd had all their life. We could go on and on and on. God is powerful, and that is the God that we serve. God is not only powerful, but he's good. I love this one. God is good. The sun is absolutely necessary to our being. If there were no sun, there'd be no light, no heat, no life, no rain, nothing without the sun. And think of this point right here. The sun doesn't discriminate. It's available to the president and the pauper. The sun, the sunshine, the light, the radiance from the sun is available to the free man and the convict. If he can get outside, I guess, is the right way to put that. The sunshine that we get from the sun is available to the black man and the white man and the rich man and the poor. There's no discrimination there. And that's the way God is. His grace is available to all. In Ephesians 4:6, we see five of the most sweetest words in God's word, the Bible. Five words, Ephesians 4:6. But he giveth more grace. Oh, I love those words. It don't matter what we've done. It don't matter who we are. It don't matter our experience. But he giveth more grace. Isn't that something? Ephesians 4:6, wonderful, wonderful verse. There's no prerequisite of color or economic status to have to qualify for God's grace. Just calling upon the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and we're recipients of God's grace. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." No prerequisite of anything in that verse except to walk uprightly. So our verse says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, the comparing God to the Father of lights. But then it says something else, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So in the middle part of that verse, it compares our God to the Father of lights, the Son. But in the last part of the verse, it gives us a little distinguishing factor, a little difference, if you will. You see, in this aspect, God is not like the sun. The sun rises and sets at a different time each day. As the seasons change throughout the year, the time that we see the sun peeping through the clouds and the time that we see the sun going away in the evening changes a little bit each day. The sun is often shadowed by clouds or eclipsed by solar schedules in astrological events that happen. The sun is constantly turning, or so it would seem from us people down here on this earth. And it changes with the seasons. It changes with the cycle. God does not change. That's why that verse says, the difference is, with whom is no variableness. There's no variableness with God. There's no shadow of turning like we see the stars and the planets and the moon being shadowed by the sun when it comes out. God is not that way. He is changeless. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Brother Jerry, we can take comfort in that fact, can't we? The God that I'm studying about and you're studying about today is going to be the same God of tomorrow. So that, in that regard, there's a little difference. Our God is the Father of lights compared to the Son, but also there's a difference. He does not change, and the Son does change. Now go to the beginning of that verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that He gives is good, and it's perfect. That's so unlike us. As human beings, we by our nature, really, think about this, we bring no good things to the table. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," who knows the rest of that? Thank you, Stacy, "dwelleth no good thing." Apostle Paul said that. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." He says, "I want to do good, but I just can't seem to do it. For the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things." We don't know the condition of what, we don't know what we're capable of. We've got a heart that at any given point in time could go AWOL if not controlled by God's control. In us, by nature, there dwells no good thing. The things that we do have, our intelligence and our reason and our health and our life and our happiness and our beauty, if we have any of that, that all comes from God. We have nothing of which we have not received elsewhere. Look with me closely. The word gift is used twice in the first part of that sentence. You see that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, I'm like Brother Chris. I don't know Greek, but I have books that were written by people who do, and I read. But they tell us that the Greek word for the first gift and the second gift is not the same. There's two different words there. And I found this very interesting. You know, in the Greek language, is so rich, and the Greek language may have 10 different words for one of our words in English. Because in Greek, there are shades of meaning and degrees of meaning or nuances. And so when they translate these Greek words into English, it's not always easiest to do because we only have one word, you know? And they tell us that the first gift right here denotes the act of giving. The very thing that's in process, the act, okay? God is in the act of giving to us good things. God is in the act of giving to his people. He is in the act of giving things that are good. We need to recognize that. God is in the habit of giving to his people good, good things. Now, not like us. When the kids were growing up, you know, Christmas time, stocking stuffers. We knew each kid's desire for different, the candies that they liked in the candy bars. Y'all have done this, I know. And so we would put the candy bar that Landon liked in his stocking and maybe some other kind of candy in his stocking and that he liked, and then each girl would have their own kind, and that would be in their stocking. Well, now the kids are all grown up, and they're doing it for me, and it's wonderful. You know, every year at Christmas time, I get mini M&Ms and liquid-filled chocolate cherries. I get things that I like, those Ghirardelli squares filled with caramel liquid inside. Oh, my goodness gracious, how sinful that is. But this Thursday, because I'm trying to eat right and trying to take care of myself, this Thursday I told the kids, please, no candy and no sugar in my stocking, because we were discussing what we're going to do for the stockings. And I said, for me, leave all that out. Oh, why, Dad? You like that stuff so much. I know, but it's not good. It makes me gain weight, and it's not good for me, and I'm trying to eat right. Hey, God never has that problem, because what he's given to us, Linda, it's always good. We love each other, and we want to give, my kids want to give to me the things that taste good and the things that I enjoy eating. But we're all human, and those things are not always the best things, are they, Valerie? No, because that's just the way God is not like that. Every good act of giving from God is indeed good. Good for us, good what we like. So unlike our giving. Because of our human mind, but not so with God. Now, sometimes we don't understand. I mean, sometimes we don't. God gives us something, and because we have these finite minds, we think kind of messed up sometimes, that we don't understand it's the good thing. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." We don't understand these things because we got human minds. And like I've said many times, you know, I like the illustration of God's got the bird's eye view of the forest, and we're down here in the trees. We can only see what's right here, and God sees everything from where we're headed and where we've been and all points in between. Some of the most wonderful, my favorite verses probably in Isaiah 55. Let me read them to you. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Helps you understand, he thinks on a different level. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy." Joy is a good thing. "And be led forth with peace." Peace is a good thing. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." Now, I don't really know what the myrtle tree is, but I know what briars are. and I'll take the myrtle tree. These are good things. And it says, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. He brings us good thing. He's in the act of giving us good thing. Now, the second gift in that verse, I got to hurry or I'm going to run out of time. The second gift in that verse is the finished result. It's the object given in its final stage. And it's always what? Perfect. God is in the act of giving good things to his people, and the finished result, the object given, is always perfect for us. Now, James is in the habit, if you read through the book of James, such a short book, James has done this several times. He makes a statement based on something that is changing. And in fact, he did it. Look up in verse number 13. He did it when he was talking about temptation. In verse 13 of James 1 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But now in verse 14, listen to this. But every man is tempted. That's an action going on. That's something that is happening. We're being tempted. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So our temptation doesn't come from God. It comes because we have this lust and this old man inside of us, and we're enticed because of that. But in verse 15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do you see, at first it starts with the action of being tempted, and we find out that our lust, our own willful lust, is what is enticing us. And when lust hath conceived, it turns into sin. And sin, when it is finished, the finished result is death. So James thinks in terms of how things are changing, and when he thinks about the gifts from God, the act of God's giving is good, and it leads to something perfect. And that's good. And that's something that we need to remember. By the way, that's when you think of things like that, that's when you can really say it and mean it, Happy Thanksgiving. Because even though I don't understand where God has me, why he has me, and you're the same way. Sometimes in life you question maybe where you are or why things are happening the way they're happening, and what it boils down to is you got to trust God. You got to have an idea that he knows what's best. He's in the habit of giving us good things, and he's in the habit of making the thing that he gives to us perfect for us. And that's what he does. And I got to tell you, these 4 weeks, as I finish up here, these 4 weeks of COVID-19 for me, I was flat on my back. It gave me time to think. And I've already made my New Year's resolution, Pat. I know it's just November. But my New Year's resolution is in 2021, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to do my best, Reese, to be grateful all year long. And recognize that God knows what he's doing. And whatever journey that I'm taking and whatever journey you're taking, he's put us on this journey. And we need to have joy in that journey. We need to be grateful that he's put us in that spot because he knows what he's doing. Now, sometimes, let's be honest about this. Little secret here, don't tell anybody, but sometimes we get in our own way, you know? So, yeah, we will still suffer those consequences, but when we let God do the planning and when we do things his way, we need to realize that that is a good way, and it leads to a perfect, finished result, and we need to let it happen and be grateful that he knows what he's doing. Praise him for who he is and what he does in our life, even though we may not understand it. That's my New Year's resolution. So, Valerie, if I get cranky in 2021 and start complaining, I want you to slap me across the face. Because we need to be grateful. We need to praise God for who he is and praise him for him giving us good and perfect things. and realize what those things are. Would you pray with me?